Hello, you're listening to People, Pets, and Vets with Dr. Brad Miller and registered veterinary technician Angel Martin.
Hello.
Each week, we bring you current events and news in the veterinary industry and share our thoughts and perspective on how they impact us in our animal hospital. We also try to give you an insight and behind-the-scenes glance at our clinic and the people in it. This episode 53 is being brought to you by Georgia Veterinary Associates, a family of animal hospitals caring for your family pet. So today we are broadcasting from super wet and rainy, nasty Lawrenceville, Georgia.
We have like rain in the forecast for the next 12 days, right?
Oh my gosh, I haven't even looked that far ahead.
I'm pretty sure through like next Tuesday at least.
Temperatures are rising, but yeah, just really wet, nasty. Somebody the other day, Klein, I think, was telling me that to this point in the year, we've had more rain than we had last year. Like Lanier's at full pool.
Well, it's over, right? Like it's 5 feet or beyond over.
Yeah. So super rainy, super wet, which I mean, not going to complain more than we already have. Could be worse. We could be in a drought like we were a couple of years ago. So, all right, let's get started. So I definitely wanted to bring up again the fact that we had our yearly 52nd episode last week and thank Dr. Mike Wanchick for being on the show.
I don't know if he said it on the show or not, but certainly maybe when we turned the mics off that he had a lot of fun and yep. That he would like to come back maybe a bit more frequently. And so we'll see how that works out. We'd love to have him, obviously.
Yeah, he was ready to record the next one when we were done.
And yeah, so, that's right. He said, all right, let's do episode 53 just now.
For those of you who couldn't tell, who listened to the episode, Dr. Mike, he's pretty entertaining. He likes to talk.
Yeah.
Can definitely carry on a conversation about just about anything you want to talk about.
Sure. So,
but yeah, we'll have a goal of having him on at least quarterly, if not more often. It's just difficult to find the time, like most things.
I did get a text message from Dr. Reese, who listens to the podcast, right? We've talked about that a couple times over. But she sent me an Urban Dictionary of Dumaflagey or Flocky, whatever, however he said it,
Dumaflagey, I think, yeah. And what did it say?
I'd have to look it up. Let me check my text real quick. Basically, he was using it correctly. It's a definition of like just a random thing.
Right.
But
something you don't know what to call, something random, doohickey is, another word for it.
Yeah, something similar.
All right. So we're going to be...
One second, it's loading. Dumaflache. Dumaflache. I can't get it to load.
That's going to be our... We're going to have a lot of words that we're going to talk about, definitions, but that's going to be our word of the week.
Dumaflache. Well, we talked about it last week.
Not related to the eye. We've been on a row. Come on, iPhone.
Okay, iPhone.
Hurry up.
Whatchamacallit, thingamabob, thingy, dingus, doodad, doohickey. So basically, it's just a thing that you can't describe.
It's a random thing. So, so obviously, coronavirus is huge in the news, and that's what we're going to be heavily talking about today.
Oh, gosh, I was hoping we'd give it a break.
We can't. But before we do that, just some recent events, happenings around here. So I was fortunate enough to...
In the midst of coronavirus,
Be asked to a kind of a key opinion leaders meeting sponsored by Merck Animal Health in Miami. And so I was in Miami last Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and came back Wednesday. You've been there, right? I think going on a cruise, you said
I've
you
only
stopped.
Been to the airport.
Okay, so not really seeing the city. Super interesting. A lot of it did kind of look like it's portrayed on Miami Vice for those of you who are Gen X and older. You would know what that show is, but tons of high-rise buildings, lots of canals and waterways going into those, lots of yachts, lots of Ferraris, nice Porsche cars. It just was a really interesting place for me to go, kind of being a little more countrified than Miami-fied. So y'all being you and your family, are supposed to go on a cruise next month, and you were going to spend some time there, right?
Not next month. It's actually the end of May, technically. So our cruise is supposed to port out on the 31st of May. So, okay. So we'll technically, it's a June cruise, if you will, but...
We'll see what happens there. I know a couple of our clients had their cruises canceled within the last 48 hours.
Well, as you've seen in the news, right, a lot of the cruise lines have basically shut their doors for 30 days. They're not cruising or sailing at all.
So, yeah. I did check out Carnival Cruise Line stock 2 days ago, was it?
I don't know about Carnival, but yesterday Royal Caribbean was a whole $33 a share.
Well, what from where?
I don't know from where, but I can imagine before that it was a lot more.
Yeah, so airline, transportation, cruise, stocks, maybe something to kind of watch. Maybe you can catch something on sale there. So, yeah, I think with everybody's travel over the next 2 weeks to 2 months, lots of uncertainty. Have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean,
we talked earlier today. I heard today, which is Sunday, that Spain, we talked about them completely shutting down the entire country. People are not allowed to leave their house unless they're going for food or medical reasons. And so I really, really hope that doesn't happen to us. That would be detrimental to
such a skeptic. Like, I don't know what to believe is real or from where you get it, because I heard the same things in Italy, right? Like, Italy's on lockdown, but then there are Italian people posting social media posts that they're at a restaurant, and as long as they're 3 feet away from the next table, then they're allowed to do that. And so I don't know. It's interesting.
Well, driving around and looking and visiting places yesterday and today, some restaurants and stores look to be completely normal as far as number of patrons. Others are shut down. Others have, you know, probably 10% of the normal cars out in front. So I did go check out Kroger. I was on the hunt for some ground turkey or chicken yesterday.
Good luck.
And all they had was pig snouts and pig jowls in the meat shelf. And so I definitely didn't know how to cook those, so I didn't pick those up.
Yeah, before coming in, actually, Lance and I took a trip to Publix, picking up some things for the week. Typically, Sunday is our grocery shopping day anyways. So it was kind of the norm for us. It was steadily busy, didn't seem to be ransacked per se on our local Chateau Elan Publix, but it was barren in some aisles, but yeah, not the entire store. The yeah, meat department, like all of your ground meats were definitely gone. But I do think, and maybe this is just me being me, but like if you took them like a piece of top sirloin or whatever, they couldn't could grind they grind it for
yeah,
you?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure they would.
And so you could be like, I want to buy this $17 steak, but grind it up because I need to make tacos for my kids.
Yeah, definitely a good point. Everybody's just kind of panicking. They're really stocking up and the shelves are barren. I do know that most of the grocery stores and maybe even Walmart, which has a grocery store in it, they are shutting down early so that
Walmart
they can,
is part of that.
So they can disinfect a little more heavily and then also restocking.
Yeah, so the way I talked about this with Lance, the way I understand it is like these 24-hour stores, so like Kroger that used to be 24-hour, Walmart that's 24 hours. And I'm speaking just in our specific area. Like there are other stores like Meijer up in Michigan that are 24-hour. But just locally, I do know that all of the stores will be closing between 8 and 10 o'clock. I say 8 because that's typically that's what Publix is closing, and typically they close at 10. So they obviously backed it off a few hours, but there's no such thing as a 24-hour store right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, they're all closing, giving their employees a break, which, you know, good for them. I've seen some horrific, I guess, videos on social media sites where people are just beating each other up in the stores, and being super mean and rude to the service attendants that work in those stores. So definitely good for them to get a break.
All the schools and daycares in our area are out, and so we had to kind of come up with a plan A, B, and C for those employees with children. And we've kind of worked through that, depending on what happens.
Needless to say, at this point, we're remaining open.
Yep, absolutely. We
are taking extra precautions like other facilities obviously have mentioned. We've not come out with really a public statement to the clients, but we're a healthcare facility first and foremost, right? So we always have sanitizing and cleaning practices in place. And so with this, we're obviously doing it a little bit more frequently and a little bit more diligently, as far as like door handles, more specific sanitization between each patient in an exam room, that kind of thing.
Doing the things we have always done, but stepping up a little bit, and maybe that's fair to say for the restaurants and grocery stores as well. They've always cleaned and sanitized, but we're just doing it more frequently. We're kind of on level one alert. Level two is where we've kind of thought about some things we can do for our clients, such as curbside service, telemedicine, some of these other things, if and when needed. So definitely had those plans laid, but kind of not wanting to panic our clientele at this point.
Sure.
So,
We want to be here as long as they need us. So.
I guess the other thing, you and I went down to a conference on
Thursday.
Thursday, the 7S Society. Interesting new little startup group of consultants and conference, but enjoyed getting to meet all of those guys and ladies as well.
So I think it's interesting just because we brought it up, right? So that the listeners understand, it's basically a group of doctors and some other, I guess,
Manager.
industry type leaders that have formed together and are joining a group called Seven Summit Society. And really, they're kind of targeting towards people who want to be private
Practice owners,
practice owners. And so, of the day in the life that we've talked about corporate consolidation and acquisitions and things we've talked about, honestly, since last year, kind of in our news articles about which company gobbled up which other company, these people are out there letting new veterinarians know, or practice managers in certain states know, or anyone really who has an ambition, that practice ownership of a veterinary practice is definitely worthwhile. So I think it's important for those young vet students to hear.
Yeah, absolutely. We met a nice young man named Graham from Lincoln Memorial. So shout out, not whatever I just said, out to Graham. We'll have to maybe send him a message and get him on our podcast list. Speaking of the corporate buyout, did you read the article I forwarded to
I
you a
did.
couple of hours ago?
I did.
So evidently Pathway Partners, which has been a huge consolidating group,
So, Pathway Partners and Pathway Vet Alliance, are they different or
it's the
the
same
same?
thing. They changed the name.
Okay.
They changed the name.
Because the article talks about Pathway Vet Alliance.
So, basically, a lot of members in our study group, a lot meaning I think two or three, which was a lot for us, actually sold their businesses to Pathway. And Pathway grew, I think, from 30 practices up to like 250 or so, and they are selling this group of practices for a huge dollar value. We're not going to disclose that,
It's
public knowledge,
got a
but
lot of zeros.
we're talking in the billions. And so I don't know, just interesting. And the reason I bring that up is what we were just talking about with the 7S Society. They're trying to promote private practice ownership. Typically the best experience for the clients and the patients. And you can own your own practice, not just work for somebody moving forward. Also, people like Bert with Bank of America, right? He was at that meeting. If all these practices dry up on the private
Oh,
side,
for sure.
then the lenders, they can't loan money.
Right.
The builders, they're not building new practices.
Yeah.
So I think
Definitely a
it's,
ripple effect for
yeah,
sure.
pretty timely event for 7S Society to step up and try to get out and spread the word. So
So go
go ahead.
back to Merck real quick. So you had your Merck meeting in Miami, and then we had a Merck dinner not too long ago, downtown Atlanta. Anyways, long story short, the reason I bring this up is I told you that for Christmas I got a bunch of magazine subscriptions just so I could kind of read them and become a more well-rounded person and yada
Yep,
yada,
going old
whatever.
school.
And so Fast Company is one of the magazine subscriptions that I subscribe to. And actually today I got, oh, actually it didn't come today. Maybe it came Friday or Saturday, but I looked at it today. That they listed the most up and coming or most innovative companies in the world, and Merck was on there. Specifically, they named them number 18, because of the Ebola vaccine that they created when all of this Ebola stuff came out.
They also created, and you'll remember the name of the drug that they used on President Jimmy Carter's brain tumor. You remember the name of that?
I don't remember the name, but there it's
Something etra. I don't
gosh.
remember.
It's now readily available.
So anyway, that definitely has had and has helped him out. But yeah, they came up with that innovative.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting. Just that
Plugging
obviously they have an
the.
animal side, they have a human health side, and oftentimes, as we see with this coronavirus thing, sometimes they do
Both,
commingle.
right? So
And we've talked
we've
about
talked
One
about One
Health.
Health, and so
Exactly.
maybe we need to. I'll reach out to Joanna, to Brad Cool, who joined me at the meeting, and they for at least 4 years that I'm aware of, they've been on this rabies mission,
Oh, absolutely.
trying to prevent and eradicate rabies in a lot of the third world countries. They actually are sending 10 volunteers this year. To I don't know where exactly they're sending them, but to help with that effort.
Oh, wow.
And I forgot to ask Brad. I want to figure out how to sign up for that. That would be a really kind of a life-changing experience to go do that for a bit.
Yeah. You probably have to be rabies vaccinated yourself and have
Yep.
current
I am. Are you?
titers. I'm not.
You've never been rabies vaccinated.
Never.
We've never talked about this.
Yeah, I thought we have. Because we talked about making it mandatory for the technicians.
Yeah. So
But it's one of those things that, of course, when the CDC isn't dealing with coronavirus, they typically limit rabies vaccines to post-exposure patients.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So we had the Duma Flacci previous word of the week, but
Well, our last word of actual word of the week was proptosis. Remember, because we were kind of sticking with the eye lingo.
And what did that mean again?
Just a forward protrusion of the eye.
So rather than talk about coronavirus, kind of like we already have, and what people can read in the news, I did kind of stumble upon an article that is all about the scientific terms and jargon related to coronavirus.
So, okay, can we go back? So, I think I might have shared this with you, but there are a bunch of, I will say, people who don't know better on Facebook that are pointing out that Clorox wipes, if you read the back label, say that they help fight against human coronavirus. And so,
When did
I thought I shared this with you from
no.
social media. So, I mean, I've seen it 3, 4, 5 times, like from different people. Like, there, it's just this one image that keeps recirculating. But again, like I said, it's from people who don't know any different. But human coronavirus was basically the same thing as SARS. It's the same type of disease. And that's kind of what you're about to talk about, right? That where these, I guess, categories come from. Because a coronavirus is a
Yeah.
classification of a virus.
It's a
It is
type of.
not a name,
Right. It's
even
a.
though we're calling this coronavirus 19.
Yeah. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to. It's not going to be super quick, but we'll wrap up within 10 minutes. I learned a little bit reading this, and I know most of it as far as the terms and the jargon, but it kind of ties things back together. And
Okay.
that's kind of where you were going. So. It's A to Z, and we're not going to talk about. There were 27 pages that I printed out. And so the first is ARDS, ARDS, Acute Respiratory Disease Syndrome.
Okay.
So a syndrome is a syndrome. It can be caused by many different, things or infectious agents. Acute means it happens very quickly. Basically, people start breathing rapidly, they're short of breath, they can get blue because they can't exchange oxygen properly. And
This typically happens in
ARDS,
kids, yes?
all sorts of people actually.
Mm.
Like, I lost a patient a couple of years ago to ARDS. That wasn't, we figured out the exact, reason that we lost it, but all of a sudden, just couldn't exchange oxygen and breathe well.
Gotcha.
And so, ARDS is a potential complication of COVID-19. So that is one cause of ARDS. And
Gotcha.
now I do believe that is why most people are dying because of this syndrome.
Right.
The next thing, alveoli, you know what that is, right? Can you
Right.
explain in your
Oh,
words?
God. No, pockets in the lungs.
Yeah, air sacs in the lungs. And so your lungs are not like a big balloon. They're more like a sponge, and the voids in the sponge are the air pockets or the alveoli. And the reason that's important, and you may hear about it, is it's thought that this COVID-19 virus binds to those cells. Okay, and that's kind of getting down to the nitty-gritty, another one of those Dumaflachi type of terms as to why it's causing, you know, really these severe signs. The next phrase is antiretroviral drugs. And so we know an antiviral drug, this specifically says antiretroviral drugs. The reason you may hear about this in the news is actually the way they work is antiretrovirals, they block or slow down an enzyme that retroviruses produce and use to chop up DNA. And that's how they insert themselves into a DNA
strand. So a retrovirus is a different classification of a virus.
Correct.
Okay, because I just HIV, want to be clear. Yes.
The AIDS virus is a retrovirus. FIV, feline immunodeficiency virus, retrovirus. And so the reason that this is kind of interesting to me is it was thought, well, COVID-19 virus uses this same enzyme in its pathogenesis or its pathogenic effect, if you will. And so early on, they thought they could use it antiviral drugs to help fight the infection. Unfortunately, that did not prove true.
The antiretroviral drugs.
The antiretroviral. So they are looking at other antiviral drugs. Remdesivir is one that they're really looking at right now. Okay, so you were talking about the antiviral effect, the anti-coronavirus effect of Clorox wipes. Important to realize that antibacterial means a product or thing or substance kills bacteria, so, not viruses.
But anti, right? So there's anti just means it decreases to a safe level.
Against anti, yeah, yeah. So if you want to get deeper into it, there are bactericidal, bacteriostatic. Bactericidal means they kill the bacteria. Bacteriostatic means they kind of keep it at bay and reduce the number. So important thing there, antibacterials really are not going to be effective against most viruses other than kind of debulking and reducing
also,
the load.
The only really way is like secondary infections, right? So you'll often see people that have a virus that do go on antibiotics.
Yep.
It's to battle against a secondary infection.
And so antibiotic or antimicrobial, same thing. It's a drug that kills or reduces the load of a bacteria, not a virus. We really don't have that many, as we just kind of spoke about the antivirals and antiretrovirals. We don't have that many drugs against viruses or effective against viruses. CDC, what does that stand for?
Centers for Disease Control.
Okay, where is the main lab?
Atlanta,
Georgia. So we're very familiar with CDC. We have a lot of clients that work there. We have, we drive by there occasionally from that part of town. So headquartered in Atlanta, but other labs across the country. So they're hugely important with what's going on, and we tend to follow their recommendations when disease outbreaks occur. Coronavirus, so it's actually a group of what's classified as an RNA virus. In animals and people. In people, they primarily cause respiratory illnesses, so lungs, throat, airways. In animals, primarily gastrointestinal, but can cause respiratory illness in the cat. COVID-19 is caused, so that's the disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared with you like 5 days ago, I'm such an idiot at times. I'm like, oh, COVID-19, that's cool. So CO stands for coronavirus, VI stands for viral, D stands for disease, and then the 19 is the year it first originated. So that is the disease. And so what is the name of the virus that causes the disease? Do you know?
I would imagine it's
SARS. Can you read
SARS.
Upside? Can you read upside? SARS-CoV-2. Okay, they define in this glossary CT scan, and the reason they bring that up is the computer tomography scan is important to help identify suspected coronavirus patients by CT in their lungs. Incubation period, that's the time it takes an infected person to start showing symptoms. Most people develop COVID-19 symptoms by day 12, but maybe sooner or later. novel coronavirus, NCOV. That's just saying that novel means new, a new coronavirus that hasn't been studied yet or has just emerged. When SARS-CoV-2...
SARS-CoV-2 is essentially COVID-19.
That is the etiological agent, the causative agent of COVID-19.
Do you have a definition of SARS in there just so that we don't terrify people? Because it truly just means something respiratory, yada, yada. Let me see if I can find it.
Gosh, I was going to say sudden acute respiratory, but I'm wrong there. So, yeah, important thing there, SARS-CoV-2 is the viral agent causing COVID-19.
It is. Severe acute respiratory syndrome.
Okay, so I was right
so,
there.
So, yeah.
Pandemic, we've all learned what that word means, I think, this past week. Just an epidemic that has spread to multiple continents or countries, typically thought to be worldwide. PPE.
Personal protection equipment.
Yep, we use that. We wear PPE when we're... I guess using disinfectants when we're doing dental cleanings. We take those precautions here at the clinic on a daily basis. All right, so PUI.
In regards to what?
Person under investigation is what that stands for.
Okay.
So people with COVID-19-like symptoms who are not confirmed, they are called PUIs.
Okay.
So they may have had contact with somebody who has the disease, somebody that may be suspected to have the disease, and basically they're just kind of watched. They're on the watch list. A PUM is a person under monitoring, and they, again, do not have the symptoms or confirmed disease, but they have they've definitely been in contact with someone with the disease or presumed to have the disease. So they're monitored once again. I don't know. I just thought it would, you know, PUI, PUM. We come up with these little slang words. We've joked in the past about new veterinarians getting out of vet school. They come out with all these phrases like that.
I can't think
of any, but all these.
X-lap.
Yeah.
Gosh.
A tikabo. A what?
Yeah.
A tikabo.
Yeah.
Total ear canal ablation. Yeah, anyway.
Bulla osteotomy,
couldn't think. So SARS-CoV-2, we already talked about that, the novel coronavirus that was first noticed in Wuhan, China. I heard from my son.
So you're confusing me. So SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19, they're essentially one and the same.
SARS-CoV-2
because
is the
way
causative
you're describing
agent.
It, but I've never seen it that way in any other news outlet.
COVID-19 is the current disease that we are facing. The causative agent is SARS-CoV-2.
Okay.
Right? So maybe we can say AIDS was the disease and HIV was the causative agent.
I see.
Okay. So self-quarantine is on the list. Everybody, you know, kind of knows what that is. That's pretty literal and easy to
understand.
What
are you going from? Some sort of dictionary for...
This came from OPB.org. And it's just a news agency. They thought they would put this out because they tried to kind of dummy down some of the jargon and make it more understandable. And so they wanted to go ahead and go the other way and put out some scientific words and give you the meaning. So if we start getting more technical, people would understand that.
So OPB is the Office of Planning and Budgeting. So this is a government website.
So maybe.
It is. I'm telling you. I looked it up.
Okay. I just found it on a story and thought it was interesting.
OPB.georgia.gov. So I would assume that this is a government website. So thanks for all of that sharing. I don't know that you necessarily cleared anything up for me.
I think I confused you more, evidently.
A little bit, yeah.
So
going back to relating it to the clinic, we are continuing to watch and honestly, obviously, educate ourselves as much as possible. And we will make decisions as new information arises. But for now, we are continuing to stay open, regular business hours. We've increased our cleaning and sanitation process. And essentially, like I said, we're here to serve the community and their pets still.
Okay. All right. I think that's about all I had.
That's it, eh?
You were going to talk about, let's talk about the ducks really quick.
The ducks that China is sending to the Middle East.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
on a good note.
Yeah. So I brought I actually put this on the docket to talk about last week, but, you know, Dr. Wanchuk here, we got kind of carried away on other things. But, you know, we were talking about China and the coronavirus back then a week ago, and I felt like we needed to put kind of China in a better light just a little bit. And essentially, China was sending, I don't even remember, over 100,000 ducks to Pakistan because they have a locust infection eating up all of their crops. So I thought that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, and then one duck can eat evidently around 200 locusts a day.
A day, yeah, that's crazy.
So,
this happened before, and I guess it happened in some other part of China. And
there may be a shortage of Peking duck on the menus if this is happening.
You are so not vegan friendly, are you?
Anyway. Anyway, okay.
Okay. So we talked about it last week that I was going to post things on Instagram, but I realized that I haven't posted anything on Instagram since January. So I'm going to vow to get better at posting.
Okay.
And so check us out on our Instagram at People, Pets, and Vets. There will be
more stuff to see
upcoming. Yeah. We'll share things a little bit more frequently for sure. But make sure to check in next week, guys, as we discuss more in the news and in our industry. Follow all of our clinics on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and check out our blogs on our website at mygavet.com. Also, you can find this podcast under the resources tab on our website or get it wherever you like. I will ask that if you are listening, please do review on whatever social site that you're listening or whatever site that you're listening on, be it Podomatic, Spotify, Apple Podcast. We're pretty much on all of those. And so it would be great for us to kind of track and see where people are listening.
I would ask for a one-time review and then actually future reviews as well.
Okay.
You know, only good reviews.
Only good ones.
Well, I mean, ideally, but.
Except when you start ranting about things.
Like you're doing now. So anyway.
I guess.
All right.
All right. As we close up, let me just say, everyone, please remember, without people, pets are simply animals.
All right. Bye, guys.